Hey guys, welcome to the Dads Group podcast. In this space, we aim to build up dads, to build up families, to better support our families. We do that by just chats. We get experts in here. We get regular dads in here. But today we have one of our Dads Group leaders from Dads of East Melbourne, Raj. Raj is a great bloke. I love this chat because it was a chat. It really was. It was just him sharing his experiences of becoming a dad and how that's really impacted his relationship with his partner, but also how it's driven him to become a better dad. And I just love that. And a lot of what we do in this podcast and in Dad's Group is just dads coming together, rubbing shoulders and just sharing those experiences. And so this was just a beautiful picture of that, I guess, of what it looks like in our regular Dad's Group catch-ups. But before we get started, guys, I want to ask if you could please like and share this episode to anyone that you find would be it would be useful for. This is going to help us in a big way. We're really, really trying to grow as an organization to better support dads across Australia, and we need your help to do that. So please get onto that like button, share button, subscribe button. That'll be a great support. But until next time, guys, hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, Raj, welcome to Dad's Group podcast, mate.
G'day, Blair. Thanks for having me.
So stoked to have you here, mate. I'm really, really pumped for this chat. We're going to start off with the classic, how are you out of 10?
I'm actually at 10. I've just come off a fabulous weekend where the weather was fantastic in Melbourne, really sunny. All of the family plans and activities, including a trip to Melbourne Zoo, went off without a hitch. Those kind of things don't always happen, so I'm super happy, and it's a great way to start the week.
Absolutely. Do you find when you have those weekends, like, yes, it fills your cup, but do you feel like you're stuffed at the end of it?
Absolutely. Last night I was struggling and really wanted to watch the Cricket World Cup final, but just couldn't bring myself to get to the end of it because I was absolutely drained. It takes so much energy.
Oh, mate, definitely. Hey, mate, can you share with us a little bit about yourself? What are your dad stats?
Yep. So my wife, Olivia, and I are parents to our son, Amari, and he is turning 3 in February next year, so a fantastic age. And that's our little family down in Melbourne.
Great, man. And so you're a dad's group leader yourself. How did you find you got into that role?
Strangely enough, I was marooned by my wife on Father's Day a year ago. She had some stuff up in Sydney where our family is based. And so I was looking for something to do and sort of went through the local paper and found a man with a pram event and thought, why not? Wandered down. And not only was it a good event, I think the most important thing or the thing that I took away from it was I'd had a couple of cursory chats with some of the gents that were there, and they were very open about how their parenting experience was. And I think for me, immediately I'd started picking up on some similarities on experiences, whether it be like positives or challenges, and started feeling a little bit more comfortable about some of the challenges that I had that I perhaps didn't speak to other people about as openly. And I just really loved that there was an open sort of discussion. And so with that, I just sort of was like, well, I need to be really close to this for my benefit, but also for the benefit of new fathers, because I certainly felt like there was a bit of a gap there. So for me, that's how it sort of came about. And then I just sort of asked a bunch of questions and how can I get involved? And now I'm sort of running the East Melbourne Dads Group, which is great.
Awesome. And so where was that man with the Prem event?
That was in Stonington Council at, in Paran, and sort of in Paran Square, which is a great little location.
Fantastic. So for those that don't know, Man with a Pram is our Dad's Group event. So we do it nationally around Father's Day, and this is where we bring that awareness of Dad's Group and the need for supporting new and expecting dads through that massive transition into fatherhood. It's also our fundraiser event as well. So We've actually had a lot of dads come, like dad group leaders come through those events. They hear about Men with a Plan before they hear about dads group, which is great. I think our we had one group over in WA. I think they had about 150 dads rock up.
Wow.
People rock up, sorry. So it's families, yeah. So it's our biggest event over there. It's so encouraging to see. Just like, yeah, so many people get on board and participate in that event. It's so cool. So do you guys run one this year?
We haven't this year, but I think we're looking at doing one in February, I think. One thing that we're sort of observing is the Father's Day date can be tricky with families having their own commitments. So I think we might want to keep one in there as a placeholder, but I think we might use such a great sort of program to do it ad hoc during the year as well and get people out and
absolutely.
About, particularly in the warmer months as well, because it's more conducive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, definitely. Well, great, mate. Well, you know, you shared a little bit about before, you know, you were chatting some other dads about, you know, fatherhood journeys and struggles and so forth. Share with us about your journey of becoming a dad.
Yeah, I think perhaps the best word I'd use to describe it is unexpected. I know that sort of sounds a little cliche, and I don't mean it in the sense that we weren't planning to have our son Amari. What I really mean is probably that despite my own preparations and discussions with my partner and planning around how we're going to be as a couple and parenting, I just found once we had our child and we were sort of going through the phases and processes that there's so much uncharted territory, both in terms of parenting approaches that we may not have covered or even thought of, and also how I'd feel in a relationship with my partner, what that was going to be like with this new addition that we were both caring for. That was the center of our lives. And I think for me, to put my hand up and own it, I admittedly didn't have a lot of experience with young kids and caring for children. And I think sort of together with that, there was sort of less information, at least from my perspective, out there around what it's like to be a dad, what sort of things you'd want to turn your mind to, what you might want to discuss with your partner ahead of being a father. And that sort of made it somewhat challenging for me, particularly early on. Like I think those first 3 or 4 months, they were particularly challenging for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of dads have that experience. You know, we prepare a lot, and this is the thing is like when reality hits and the situations hit, you cannot prepare for your, like you cannot prepare perfectly for your situation because every dad situation is different. So can you share more? Like, do you mind sharing more about that? What that struggle was like for you?
Yeah, absolutely, not a problem. So I think it was sort of twofold. It was partly the relationship dynamic and how that shifted, and then also just a feeling of perhaps not being as helpful as I would have liked to have been as a father and a partner. And it's a bit of a strange one because physiologically I'm not designed to do certain things as my wife can. And you know that there are certain things that you're not going to be able to do, but I sort of set perhaps high expectations for myself about, all right, I can't do certain things, but I can cook and clean and take care of all non-baby related matters and, you know, look after my wife while she's recovering and being a primary carer. But I also wanted to be able to like soothe and bottle feed and do all these things. And I wasn't, I suppose the most easy way to say it is I wasn't very good at all of it. And it was a learning experience for me. And I think the bottle feeding in particular, I don't want to say scarred me, but it was just challenging because I was nervous about we were going to move Amari to daycare reasonably quickly. And I was really keen for him to be on the bottle so that he could go to daycare without too much fuss. And that sort of timing coming really close made me apprehensive. And I think the vibes within me made it more difficult. And so that was really challenging. And that sort of compounded with that first phase where babies tend to be, you know, less expressive. You don't get that feedback and engagement. And I think that might have impacted my ability to respond well to bottle feeding, you know, soothing and things like that, because children as young as 1 month old certainly feel the energy in the room, I personally think. And so those were the main challenges from not being as helpful as a partner. I think from a relationship perspective, the most sort of crude and sort of straightforward way of putting it is that I felt as though we went from being partners, lovers, companions, best friends to just housemates that have a responsibility. Yeah. And I think that this is a big one that I know that I'm not alone on. I've heard anecdotally from others through dads group and just conversations with other dads that this tends to happen. And for me, it was that, you know, the best laid plans that we'd had about preserving everything that we'd spent many years building up, those plans are there to be derailed by a young one. So, and that's okay, but perhaps not being prepared to deal with that or not know how to feel.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just listening to you speak and I feel anxious, you know what I mean? Like, I can hear you talking. I'm like, I remember those feelings, yeah. You know, like, I'm like, I experienced the exact same, and it's making me feel anxious because I remember it. And it's so key. And I it was a feeling that I never expected, you know, like, again, like, I was very intentional about my preparation to fatherhood. I was very intentional when I became a dad, like when my oldest was born, I was trying to do all the things, and it was just like in my head I wasn't reaching the mark, like I was putting these pressures on myself and I wasn't doing all the things that I wanted to do. So for my wife and I, my wife had an emergency cesarean, so she was out of the game for, you know, first couple of weeks after oldest was born. She was put under general anesthetic, so all these things, like all the questions with the midwives, everything was coming to me, and it was extremely stressful because in my head I'm like, look, my wife and I have had these conversations. I know I'm confident in the responses I need to give to the midwives and stuff. And even like, my son also had a tongue tie, so he couldn't breastfeed. Right. Like, it was a really severe tongue tie, couldn't breastfeed. So I had the opportunity to be very hands-on because we had to be bottle-fed, formula-fed from a very young age, well, since birth pretty much. But it was always that thing in my head of, like, I want to take all of these burdens from my wife. I want to do all these things. I want to be the best at. And the pressure that I put on myself was extreme. Like, and it was really, really hard. So I'm hearing that from you, just that anxiety, that pressure that I need to perform.
Yeah.
And then you go on to talking about the intimacy with your partner and about how, becoming housemates and stuff. Like, what? I just get it. I just love hearing you say that because I'm just like, oh, that's right. We had the exact same stuff. So what was the turning point for you? Like, I think it's so good to recognize the different seasons and transitions that you go through as a couple, let alone just your role as a dad. What was that turning point for you? Did you guys realize you're in that state together, or did your wife realize that, you realize that?
I think we both realized it, and I think this also tends to be part of the issue, is you realize it independently of one another and aren't communicating it to each other. So you feel a certain way, have a dialogue and conversation in your own head, perhaps don't get any feedback on that, and then react to certain situations and experiences. And you're both coming from the same place, but you're not communicating about it. And so for me, it was a case of having a series or several of those instances, and sort of both of us needing to sit down and go, okay, what's really going on here? And having having an open dialogue, some clear communication, and being constructive, but also with, like, talking with empathy and love, and understanding that, you know, it's not going to resolve itself unless we talk about it and put things in place and make a change to how we're going about it. And I think there, it's not always easy to do that on your own. So it may be with the assistance of family. It may be with the assistance of a trusted friend or someone who's gone through it and has come out the other side and can sort of give you some perspective. Or it might be a professional who can give you the tools and skills to have the conversations in the way that you need to have them to make sure you're getting the right outcomes and learning from one another. And so I think that is critical. And so for us, it was just after a series of those events, we needed to sit down and talk about it. And we both were quite open with each other to say, look, this is not kind of where we want it to be and how we want it to be. What can we do? And for us, it sort of started small, just carving out time. And it wasn't necessarily time for us together. It was time for each of us apart to go and, you know, go out for a walk, go out and create some time for yourself so that you're feeling good about yourself, that when you come home or when you're back in the space together with the family, you're in a good mindset, you're positive, you've had your dose from outside or whatever it might be. Could be exercise, could be sport. And those sort of little elements helped the environment at home become a lot more warm and empathetic. And then it was like carving out time, which sounds strange again, but really being intentional with we're going to spend an hour together to do something between us. And it was, for us, it was cooking. We were sort of going through a bit of lockdown. So, you know, going and getting the ingredients and cooking something from scratch that was different to what we would normally make. It might have been doing some artwork. It might have been doing some pottery at home and getting a kit delivered. Little things because we weren't able to go out. And also we didn't have, because we live in Melbourne and our family's in Sydney, we don't have that village to support us. It was trying to be innovative and thinking about what can we do with the time that we have in our own home and pick locations in the house where we aren't with our child necessarily, to create a bit of a space. And it sounds, I suppose, easy, and you say that now on reflection, but in the moment it can be difficult to come up with those things and think like that, because all you're looking at is, I'm not feeling great and I don't know what to do.
Absolutely. I mean, I love that. I love that intentionality of, again, because when Bub's born, so much focus is on baby, so much focus is on mum, and we often neglect our relationship with our spouse, like, you know, like our, with our partner. Like, it's, yes, I love that. One thing that we did during COVID, and I hear this a lot, we actually give this advice. Advice is probably a stretch, but we often share this to people that talk about, like, how they really struggle to get alone time, or they struggle for date nights and stuff like that because they're a similar situation to you. They don't have that village around them to help them. And what we did during COVID, we used to get fully dressed up like we were going to go out. We couldn't go out. We used to get fully dressed up. We'd move our dining room table in front of our TV because we try to keep them separate usually. In front of our TV, we'd lit candles. We'd order Uber Eats. And then we'd, on the screen, we'd look up on YouTube like, cafe ambience, like, you know, backgrounds. It was amazing. Like, we were in a cafe in New York and in London and great. And it was just that. It was more about that intentional time of us just sitting down and my full attention is on you and your full attention is on me, and just being able to share where we were each both at with our parenting, with COVID, which was a huge topic of conversation and so forth. But I love that. I love the things that you've done. Pottery, oh, man, that would be so cool. I didn't even think of those things. That's really awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, for me, the benefit was my wife has sort of that art background, and so you know, opens up a whole range of activities that are different to what you might sort of ordinarily do. And I think that's great because it's using different parts of your brain as well. And you're thinking differently, and that also fuels for great conversation. So that was incredibly important. And it sort of remained in a way, although we sort of have now carved out time for ourselves to do exercise and do our own things with our social groups and friends, and also just enough time for ourselves to do things. So every now and then we might take a day off whilst our son is in daycare, and just relax and do nothing. And we don't have to go anywhere necessarily, but it's just spending that time together, not talking about your kids and having a relationship again. And it's funny how quickly you slip back into, if you want to and you choose to go back into that couple relationship dating world, but you just got to create the environment.
Exactly. Yep, absolutely. I love that. That's great. So we've kind of gone from sharing about your experience of not feeling helpful in those early periods down to, you know, prioritizing relationship with your wife. I want to come back to you not feeling helpful. What are the things that you put in place to help with that? You know, was it all kind of tied in together? You know, conversations with your spouse and
I think yes, but I'd probably add a couple of things. For us, it was, if we don't have the village, let's go create the village. And that meant two things. Wow. building the network in Melbourne so that we can explore these conversations with people. And Dad's Group has been fantastic for that. Just having six people in a room tell you the same thing that you're feeling changes your position and perspective on how bad you think it is. So that was incredibly important, both from my wife's perspective and my own, from Mother's Group and Dad's Group, and just a social sort of setting in the general community of parents. In our case, because we weren't in Sydney, we made time to go to Sydney and spend a block of time and get that time with the grandparents. And it was incredible because things like bottle feeding and sleep, for example, which seem like monumental issues, and you give yourself some perspective and realize this is, what, 4 days in a lifespan of 80 years, and it really is insignificant, but it seems like everything in the moment, is great to share with people around you. So I remember distinctly going to Sydney, having no luck with bottle feeding. My mum sort of, you know, doing what she's done for how long she's done it and showing me and being calm and Amari adapting to it. And within 2 days I was on the couch feeding Amari every single meal. It's just because there are people there telling you it's okay. It's not going to be a problem. The same thing with sleep, like Amari, we carried him for a long time and he was a big bub. So it got to the point where our shoulders and backs were struggling. He was a bag of potatoes pretty young. It just got too hard. And so we started moving to lying him down. He wasn't fond of it. And why would you after having cuddles from your mum and dad to go to bed? But doing it in Sydney and him perhaps, how can I describe it, like crying and not being so comfortable with the change was great to do in the environment of my best friend from kindergarten, my parents and my wife's parents sitting there going, this is all normal, it's okay, and we're here to support you through this. And within a couple of days, he was sleeping like a champion. And so that was incredibly important. So creating your own village, I think, was key. And I sort of touched on it, but perspective. So understanding that, or at least giving yourself the opportunity to step back and go, all right, what is this really? And how long is it going to impact me? And what can I do to assist, rather than it's not going the way I want and it's all happening right now and it's all consuming. And that's easy to say and not so easy to do, but I think it takes practice. And I think it's something that you've got to communicate with your partner about and bounce off each other, because inevitably on a given issue, someone is going to feel like it's the be all end all. And you do need someone in your corner to be able to say, I know you feel like that, but here's why maybe it's not. And let's work towards resolving. And you don't always get the solution straight away, but in time, you look back on almost all of these things and go, do you remember that week where it was so hard and we thought we couldn't do this? And then now he's fine, or, you know, he didn't want to sleep in his bed and now he doesn't want to sleep anywhere else. Like those kind of things, perspective was really critical. So I'd talk about those two things for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you find, again, just hearing you talk, my mind's going straight to, you know, there's something I'm struggling with my fatherhood journey. For me, a big thing has been patience and feeling overwhelmed and reacting out of that place. And I beat myself up quite a lot, like when I'm struggling with those things. Do you find that with having that local dad's group and those guys that you journey with in that way, it normalizes the feelings? It doesn't excuse our behaviors, but it normalizes the feelings that you've gone through. Do you find that's the case for you?
I think that's absolutely right. Normalizes it, or at least gives it space to understand it for what it is, then have a conversation around why do we feel that way and what can we do differently to perhaps for the next time we have this situation react in a better way or a different way. Certainly, and that seems to be a lot of the feedback from the guys that I sort of spend time with, that patience is like a tank, and depending on the time of the day and depending on the issue, depending where your tank's at, your reaction might be different. And that takes practice and time, and that's always going to be a challenge, because beyond your family and beyond your child, there's so many other factors and pressures in your life that are going to influence your patients and your tank. I think really what it is it's a case of being aware and alive to what's bothering me, and is it really this moment right now, or is it something else? And I think that's an interesting thing that my wife, she's quite an empath, and she's great at picking up on this, and she knows pretty early on in sort of how I'm engaging with conversations or talking to her about what we're going to do on the weekend or whatever it might be. And she says, just hang on a second, there's something going on. And more often
than not, They always know. Yeah. Seriously.
well, at least, and the first response from me is always, no, I'm fine, right? That's just how we are genetically designed, I feel, that we're like, no, I'm fine. Like, of course I'm fine. Like, why wouldn't I be? And in saying it, you kind of recognize that you're giving off this strange vibe as well. But sure enough, a couple of are you okay questions that follow illuminate that you've had a really stressful day at work because of these conversations that have irritated you incredibly, and then you've come home and are still in that mood and haven't decompressed. Mm-hmm. So go for a walk or go have a shower and freshen up and come down, and all of a sudden you look at this period differently. And that's what it is. I think it's a ongoing sort of test or sense of awareness that you kind of need to be thinking about your day and thinking about where am I right now and what's sort of feeding into my emotions, how am I thinking, what's my patience level like, and what can I do, and what is it related to my child and my family, or is it something separate? And that's that I found is incredibly helpful, just to be able to calibrate where I'm at.
I find as well, like when Amy asks me sometimes, like, are you okay? I'll give that answer, like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, why are you asking me that? And then, like, I'll be like, oh, wait, hold on. It sparks the thought and it sparks the evaluation, I think. And I'm like, oh, no, actually, I'm not okay. You know, I have been snappy. I have been reacting in ways I don't want to react. And then we've got our things again through the conversations that we've had together. Of like, all right, cool, these are the things that, you know, we will do when I'm in those spaces. Like, I'm going out with my dad's group mates tomorrow night for a dinner. So it's just like, no, we're going to have, that's my time to now go hang out with my mates and just decompress and whatever else. Or it's go to the gym, or it's go for a walk, or it's like take 5 minutes into the bedroom, you know, like just by yourself, like just escape. And that's the thing is like, yeah, I will say, I'm fine because I haven't really taken the time to evaluate how I'm actually going. So that question sparks the thought at least. That's been massive for us too.
I think on that, what's interesting is, and particularly early on when you are having those feelings of you want to contribute, you want to be at the top of your game, and your wife's the one that's given birth and gone through the trauma and difficulty of carrying a bub for 9 months and then giving birth, and you know, you may have complications, you may not. I think you find it then as a man, as a father, very difficult to voice how you might be feeling and it not being great or something bothering you. You feel like, oh, how do I have the space to say this in the context of my wife doing what she's doing? I just need to get on with it and be the best and do everything right. And I think sometimes why I sort of bring it back to dad's group a bit is that creates a space where you can have the conversation. There are some things, and my wife will listen to this, and she won't be surprised by this, but there are some things that I talk to my dad's group about and my buddies about that I can't talk to my wife, at least in the first instance or at all, because you just don't feel it's the right space. And same with like a medical professional or whatever it might be. You just need a soundboard of someone who's there in the trenches, the same war as you, and fighting the good fight and feeling the same feelings, like that is invaluable. But that's one of the challenges too, in being able to say, this is how I feel.
Absolutely. That train agrees that just went past. Yeah. that was perfect timing. No, I get that. And my wife is going to edit this, so she's definitely going to hear this part too. But no, absolutely, because it's about, and she does it with her friends too, of like, all right, what do I actually think about this? Like, is this an actual issue? Because we need to be careful about I can't just say something to Amy because I'm a verbal processor. So I, what comes out of my mouth, like what's in my mind will come straight out of my mouth, even if it's, the thought's not completely finished. And I can hurt her a lot by doing that. And I have. And so like with my mates, and this is, you know, going out tomorrow night, I don't have any topics, Amy. I'm just, this is a general statement here. It's not that I've got things loaded up for tomorrow night for my dinner with my mates, but like that, in that space, we will, like, I'll just share with her, I'll share with them, sorry, I'm like, oh man, like, you know, what do I, what should I be thinking through this? Like, what do I actually think through this? And having that people to process with, so that when I need to bring something, a sensitive topic back to Amy, I'm a lot more thought out and I've done the verbal process somewhere else. So I was like, all right, cool. At the end of the day, I want Amy to feel completely uplifted and loved and supported. You know, I don't communicate that well when I'm processing. When I'm processing, it's raw. It's like, you know, blunt. It's all that sort of stuff. So, no, absolutely agree. That's good, mate. We've covered a lot there, from, you know, your role, feeling overwhelmed and stressed about your role as fatherhood. And we've really sort of shifted into that focus of relationship, which I think is so important going forward, for us to continue to have those questions for our spouse, with our spouse, and about our fatherhood journeys, about their motherhood journeys, and about our relationship together, our teamwork.
Yeah.
If you were to go back in time, and we always ask this question, if you were to go back in time and visit yourself in the hospital just before Bub's born, what piece of advice would you give yourself?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think three things probably. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable and not knowing all the answers. I think I'd say it's okay to have like bad or tough days. Recognize them for what they are and learn from them. Don't just let them go by. And sort of, you know, sticking with the theme, and perhaps what's been most important to me being the relationship between me and my wife, is listen and actively hear your partner and communicate clearly with empathy. And I think you'll get so much more out of your relationship, but also your parenting, when you do that, both before and during parenting. But those three things I would say are pretty critical. And also, like, with all that, you don't always get it right, you know, and that's kind of that. It's okay to have bad and tough days, and that's perfectly fine. You just want to aim for less of those bad days and more of the good ones.
Absolutely. No, that's right. I think one big thing I've got from you from this chat as well is just that, again, you know, when you hear stuff and then you hear it again, you're like, oh, that's right. It's about our patience being a tank. You know, it's like, is that tank filled? And I think that's really, really important. And I think it's very timely for me, especially, like I mentioned to you, I'm solo, solo dad this weekend with four kids because my wife is away with her sisters for her birthday, which is great. I'm so glad she gets to do that. But yeah, my tank's empty. It is empty. No, that's something that really stood out to me. And I love those visuals. Like, oh, a physical tank. I actually picture that. So
yeah, absolutely.
I love that, mate. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Raj, for coming on, mate. And I've just loved getting to know you more. I've loved and have been so encouraged by you and Andrew, your co-leader for Dads of East Melbourne, and just super encouraged by just seeing you guys work and invest in those dads. Man, it lifts me up. And so I just want to thank you so much for what you're doing in the fatherhood space. And I hope to have you back again, mate.
It's a pleasure, and thanks for having me. It's been a great conversation, a great way to start the week.
Talk to you soon, mate.
Thanks. Take care, Blair. Cheers.
And we also want to thank our listener for tuning in today. If you haven't already, go check out our website at www.dadsgroup.org. In this space, we've got some awesome resources for support for families, new and expecting families. There's a lot of mental health support there by some amazing organizations. On this website as well, you can also support Dad's Group through purchasing our merchandise, or a solid donation would be amazing and help us impact the lives and of new and expecting families all around Australia. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Cheers, guys.